Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. This is Jennifer Bell, and I'm continuing our talk with Dave Brown, who's one of the owners of Curtis and David's Winery. And Dave, you've got us to the point where the grapes have been picked, the must is sitting in this vat with some sawdust and starting to take shape. What's the next step?
Well, we let it go through fermentation. And then once it's through its fermentation, the wine is dry. And dry means that the available sugars are gone. Once the wine is dry, we use a process called maceration, which is just to let it rest to extract a different type of acid. We don't add any acids to our wines, so we extract acids in different parts of the natural process. And sometimes it'll rest there for, well, the longest one I've ever done is 45 days. And then we move the wine, the must, to a press, press the grapes and all of what's left, and it goes into a tank, we settle it out there, and then it goes to the barrels. From that point, it can last in the barrels for up to 2 to 3 years, depending on the varietal, and also depending on how it's tasting.
At what point in the year is the harvest done, and then when are you turning it into the must, which is then setting, you know, it's kind of, what is that process?
Well, harvest is the traditional harvest time for everybody on Earth. It's in the fall, and it depends on the varietal. Some grapes are harvested in the late summer, the whites typically, and then the red wines are coming in later. You ferment them immediately. Once you pull it off the vine, you need to start the process for most wine types. And then you press it out, and sometimes it's right around the holidays, or sometimes it's into the next year, depending on how the grapes are going. The latest one I ever had was in January. And then it's in the barrels. We move it from barrel to barrel, or the technical term is racking. We'll rack it from barrel to barrel to clean it up. You know, we'll take it off the sediment. We have a filter, but it's kind of an insurance policy. We've never used it. Our wines are unfined and unfiltered, so they'll sometimes have a little bit of sediment in them. And then goes into the bottle. After that, we'll bottle it, and then it let it sit. We found that our wines do best if we let them try to sit up to about a year before we bring them out onto the marketplace.
What types of wines do you produce?
We produce Cabernet and Zinfandel, and we have over the course of the years done a grape called Carignan. It's an old blending grape.
That's a purple wine.
It's very purple. It used to be the major grape type that was in Ernest and Julio's, their Hardy Burgundy.
Nothing
to do with Burgundy. It just was a good color for them. And then we also do Petit Syrah. And we've made Syrah and Merlot and some other things over the course of the years. We like the grapes.
And how do you market your wine?
Well, we have a guy that is repping our wines, representing our wines for the local market, and then we attend tasting shows outside of the area to make connections with marketing sources in other parts of the country. And currently, we are pretty much local. We've sold as far as into the Bay Area. We've been in a couple stores in the Bay Area and in Napa. And then we're working on some contracts out of the area in different states, Wyoming, Colorado, Montana, those places.
Where in Humboldt County can somebody buy your wine?
Well, pretty much everywhere. But the co-ops and here in Arcata Libation has all our wines. We are in, Mourish Market down in the Fortuna area, and then also Beverage Plus Foods in Fortuna and in a few restaurants. So look around. We're there.
Okay. I know that you're interested in history, and so what is kind of the history of wine? Where did it come from? I know it seems like it's always been around.
That's kind of a long
question.
Is that
a big question?
This 10 minutes won't work. History of wine, that's a long and involved topic. But really, you know, if you think about it, every culture, every area on Earth has had their fermented beverage that they've created. And in places where grapes grow and have grown historically, people will make wine out of them. They'll also make many other products. But one of the things that they've made over many, many years is wine. One of the things that I like to point out to people when they talk about Australian Shiraz and how great it is, well, Shiraz, it's named the Shiraz grape because it actually came from Iran in that part of the Middle East. So if you look at the history of people, especially in Europe and then in the Mediterranean areas, you will find grapes and you will find a myriad of wines. There are oceans of wines that people here in America and in California really don't have much exposure to. So they're all over the place. And they are typically very tied to the small areas that people live or lived and have lived for many, many, many years. So you can follow the history in those areas by drinking the wines or reading about the grapes or just understanding them.
And for you, do you drink wine every night, or is it for special occasions? I can't imagine that.
No, we typically have some wine every night. I look at wine as a food. It's part of a meal. And it's been a big part of my life for a lot of years, so there's always something there. I don't only drink our wine. I like drinking everybody's wines. I think that we, especially here on the North Coast, are producing some very nice wines now and getting some recognition for them. And that's, in the future, going to be kind of a neat addition to what we have here on the North Coast with the foods that we have available and the agricultural things that are coming on. Wine is going to be part of that, and I think it's an exciting one.
I think, to me, wine helps you slow down during a meal. I mean, you can't imagine eating fast food with wine, you know? It just brings to mind, I guess so, but it just kind of brings to mind kind of slowing down and sitting at a table and having that meal.
Yeah, and there's usually somebody else there, and you're having a nice conversation, and that's maybe the end of your day, and it even could be the middle of your day, but it is that time to reconnect, and it's always, I found, part of a good connection to other people. And really, that's the tie for me to the wine business. That's why I like it so much. I've met some of the best people I've ever known in the wine industry. And they've not all been the big barons of the wine world. A lot of very good people out there, and that's why I like this and doing this here.
So, Dave, how did you come up with the name Curtis and David's as your winery name?
Well, we went round and around looking for a good name, looking for something that would stand out. And what we came up with was the names that our mothers used to yell at us as kids. We both remembered our mothers either yelling, Curtis or David. And so it is somewhat of an homage to our parents.
Oh, that's sweet. Is there anything else that you would like to share about wine that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, here locally we have the Humboldt Wine Association, and there are 30 wineries now in the county. And so I like to tell people to shop local. If you're looking for a wine for the holidays, some gifts, or just some interesting things, there's a variety of wines out there. We have everything from sparkling wines. We have really great meads that are here. We have very good locally produced, meaning the grapes are grown here and the wines are made here. Cabot Vineyards just received a very nice award for their Syrah, one of their Syrahs. So buy local, drink local, and help out this new edition.
That sounds great. Sounds like we should have a glass of wine right now.
We should.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Dave Brown.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.